The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast is part of the Podbelly Network. Please visit podbelly.com to see a complete listing of all of our other shows.
It's about to be a fun ride. Follow along, watch as we slide. Paranormal just hit the lights. Goosebumps all through the night. Mix in just a little bit of twang. That girl sure can't do a thing. Together, hillbillies go insane. Laugh so hard it'll hurt your brain. Podcast you won't ever change. These two here, they got the recipe. Sat on back and listen in to some of our darkest mysteries, ain't.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. And now here's your host, Jerry and Tracy Polly, and their dog Ninja.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 242 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy, it's nice to have you here today.
Well, thank you, honey. Glad to be here.
We had a fun weekend. We'll talk about some of that after this show tonight. Before we end the show tonight, we do have a listener story interview from Anthony. And you guys are going to love this, so stick around for that. Tracy, we'd like to thank all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent. Thank you for everything you guys, gals, dogs, and other support animals do.
Yes, thank you very much, guys. And we pray for you guys every day. You keep us safe, and we can't thank you enough for that.
Absolutely. Tracy, I am kind of going to spin this in here as we talk about it. This is the part of the show where we always want to remind everybody that if you're going through some hard times, some struggles, whether it be from COVID or whether it be from relationships or financial, that you've got somebody you can lean on. That's us. You can send us a message. You can call us anytime you would like. You can join our group, 5,000 strong, of just members waiting to be able to help you any way, shape that they can, whether that be prayers, whether that mean just talking to you or lending an ear. That's what they are there for. And we want to make sure that you realize that no matter what you're going through, you are loved and you are cared about by all of us.
Yeah, we got the best group in the world. I'll say that, and I'm proud of it.
I am too. But the point I was going to make is we just had some new business cards made up advertising the show. Mm-hmm. And on the back side of the card, we put the suicide hotline number here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So we just hand these out to, like, when we're at restaurants and we leave for the servers or when we're at gas stations and stuff. So now, you know, where in the past we were just advertising the show, now we are actually given a beneficial number that somebody may be able to use down mm-hmm. the line or give to someone else that they think may be able to use it. And I wish we'd have thought of this a lot sooner.
I know. It's a great idea.
Yeah. I think this, you know, I'm kind of proud that now we've got something to hand out that could have two purposes.
Yeah, absolutely. If you would rather talk to someone through the hotline, the number is 800-273-8255. You can also text at 741-741. And, you know, just reach out to somebody because we love you and we're here for you. And anytime, day or night, just give us a call if you need to.
Absolutely. And as usual, this episode is brought to you by El Yucateco Hot Sauce. Top 10 hot sauces in the United States. Number one, habanero-based hot sauce. Hashtag king of flavor, baby.
Yeah.
So if you can't find it in your store, it's in most major grocery stores. You can go to elyucateco.com. Get whatever you want there. Put in the code Hillbilly Horror and you're going to save 10% off. I strongly suggest the chipotle. I use that stuff on almost everything that you would want a smoky flavor with. That's what set that one apart. It's got a smoky flavor to it.
Yeah, it's delicious. They all are.
All right, so Tracy, the story we've got tonight, I'm kind of surprised we haven't done this one yet. It's like one of the biggest stories out there, and we've kind of just, I guess, foot stomped all over it. And just
didn't do it, huh?
We've been walking all around in the yard and never actually knocking on the door, so to speak.
Oh. Well,
we're going to talk about...
I thought we were going to talk about poop.
No, we will not.
Oh, dang.
We're going to talk about Glarm's Castle.
Glarm?
Yeah. Now, that is spelt G-L-A-M-I-S.
There's no R in there.
That's right. And there's also no I in it or any of that.
Well, how do you know it said that? Did you look it up?
Yeah, I had to look it up, and it's pronounced Glarm's.
Huh.
Okay. I've heard some people call it Glarm's.
Glarm's.
But the official from three or four different sites that I said it's pronounced G-L-A-R-M-S.
Oh, well, cool.
So that's how we're going to do it. And if it's wrong, then you can just blame several sources on the internet, not me. Because I put forth the effort to make sure
I did it right. Yeah, you did. Good. Good job.
So when it comes to the paranormal, obviously, is there anything more iconic than a haunted castle?
Shoot, no.
Even in Hollywood, people remember Dracula's castle or Frankenstein's castle. There's just something about a really old castle that's spooky as hell, even if it's not haunted.
I wonder if the castle in New York, the castle up here in Lexington's haunted.
My guess is no.
Oh.
Because I don't think anything's ever really happened on the property there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fairly new castle. It was built, you know, like in the 70s, I think it was, maybe late 60s.
A lot of these castles,
they were actually built as forts or whatever the situation was, especially over in, and you're going to see how old some of these are.
Because they had a dang moat.
Yeah, this one doesn't have a moat.
Oh.
And unless you go to the, when you spend the night there, because it's a hotel now, you'll have a moat control in the bedroom. So.
You're so funny. That's funny.
But anyways, that one up there, a lot of people don't remember, but Lee Major, the $6 million man, when he was married to Farrah Fawcett, he actually bought that for her.
Shut your face.
Yeah, he didn't have it built. It was already there.
He bought it for her?
He bought it for her, and then he eventually ended up selling it.
Yeah. Isn't he nice? Yeah. Wow.
Now, most of these castles that we're going to talk about as being haunted or what have you are in Europe, obviously. And what I've always found amazing is how old some of these castles are. I'm probably going to mispronounce this one because I really wasn't sure, but it's called the Citadel of Aleppo. It could be Aleppo in Syria. Get ready for this. It's still standing, first of all. It was built around 3000 B.C.
You are lying.
3000 B.C.
Lying, so biggest you're sitting there.
5,000 years ago.
No way.
5,000 years ago.
The whole entire thing?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if the whole thing's there, but some of it's still there.
That is incredible.
Yeah. That's the oldest castle known to still be standing.
Good Lord. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Syria is not exactly the place I think we want to be traveling to these days.
Oh, that's probably true. That is so amazing.
Then you've got the Reichsburg Koker, and that's in Germany. It was built in the year 1000. It's still standing.
That is blowing my mind, seriously.
I like how you made like 10 seconds worth of face before any sound came out.
We can't say that.
So, well, because there was a big long pause, and I want people to know that even though there was a long pause, there was activity happening. It just wouldn't sound related. And as far as other castles, you've got the Warwick Castle. It's in Warwickshire, England. And that was built in 1068. And the list goes on and on.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine the people that built that are in heaven saying, damn, you believe that building's still standing? Man, we were good.
Well, and it amazes me that most of these are still standing. And you know what's even more incredible? And I heard this actually on another podcast, and I can't remember what it was, but they were talking about older structures, churches, and stuff like that. I think it was mainly talking about churches. But it was like how many people started building these things knowing that they wouldn't be completed in their lifetime. But they were still excited about, you know, hey, this thing's probably going to take 100 years to build, and I'm 20 or 30 years old. But they knew that it was something that eventually would be completed and be a...
How amazing is that?
So today, we are going to talk about Glarm's Castle in Scotland. It's not quite as old as these other ones that we talked about, but it was officially opened, this one, in 1372. The history of the land that the castle is actually built on has had some bad history going back 300 years before that. In 1034, King Malcolm II is murdered on the spot that the castle stands today.
Oh, no.
Glarm's is the oldest inhabited castle north of England and is well known for being the setting of Shakespeare's Macbeth.
Wow, that's so cool.
It was the ancestral home of the late Queen Mother Elizabeth Bowes Lyon. And it's been called the most haunted castle in the world.
In the whole entire world?
The whole entire world.
We really gotta go now.
It's even got its own monster, somewhat.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll tell you about it later. So we're gonna cover a little history of the castle, but we'll put more focus on the paranormal because there is so much on this one. So Glarm's Castle is located next to the village of Glarm's in Angus, Scotland. It is currently the home of the Earl of Strathmore and Kinghorn. And it's open to the public, so you can actually go there and go
Very
in.
Very nice.
It's been the home of the Lyon family since the 14th century. The original castle was built in 1372, but it was rebuilt as an L-planned tower house in the 15th century. So the one that's there now is not the original that opened up in the 1300s. This one opened up a little bit later.
Like 1400?
Yeah.
Oh, that's still impressive.
It's still really old.
So are you saying to me that the same family has owned this castle, the Lyons family, forever?
Not forever, but for a very long time.
Wow.
Very long time. Because you figure the 14th century is the 1300s.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because this is the 21st century. And we're in the 2000s. So the 14th century would be 1300s. Okay.
Friggin' long time ago.
Yeah, long time ago. Now, the title Lord of Glarm's was created in 1445 for Sir Patrick Lyon. So we know in 1445 the Lyons were living there.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned a little bit earlier that the castle was childhood home of Queen Elizabeth. She was the wife of King George VI. Their second daughter, Princess Margaret, Countess of Snowdon, was born there. The castle is protected as an A-listed building, and the grounds are included on the Inventory of Gardens of Designed Landscape in Scotland.
I bet that was really pretty back then.
Oh, I guarantee it was. And when it says they're listed as an A-listed building, that would be the same as being on the National Historic Register here.
Yeah, I was going to say probably so.
So let's jump to the haunted stuff. First of all, not all of the ghosts at Glarm's Castle are tortured souls, so to speak. In the Queen Mother's sitting room, the ghost of a playful, dark-skinned little boy has been seen playing hide-and-seek. Now, he must not have been very good at it because he's a
they
ghost.
Sound like
he's a ghost and we still see him.
Aw, he's cute.
The problem with Glarm's, like a lot of these places that are centuries old, is that fact and fiction sometimes get a little bit intertwined over the years, and it's hard to distinguish between the two. I'll tell you the stories, and we can all just speculate which ones are true and which ones aren't, because, to be honest with you, I don't think anybody really knows at this point.
Well, how could you? Or how could you prove it?
Right. Several guests have seen the apparition of a young girl who is very pale and appears to be frightened. Now, she stands screaming at a window that's all barred up. But her screams are silent. So you can tell by the expression on her face that she's screaming, but there's no noise coming out of her mouth. That makes sense?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The legend is that she had her tongue cut out and was then imprisoned to keep her from telling her family secret.
No way!
No one is quite sure what that family secret might have been. So obviously the plan worked because she didn't tell anybody, I guess.
That's
so we're still
terrible.
Speculating what the plan was today.
Terrible. I mean, can you... I mean, I guess you can live without your tongue, but what the heck, man?
Yeah.
She won't have the joy of sticking her tongue out at anybody.
Trying to stick it on a pole in the wintertime.
I cannot even imagine that. How horrible.
Like in an ice cream cone?
No. Damn mean people.
There's a lot of lore when it comes to this castle. One story says that a man working in the castle in the 1920s accidentally uncovered a hidden tunnel, and what he found in the tunnel almost drove him insane.
Oh, my God.
The family bought his silence by paying for him to move to another country.
So do you think that's what they're keeping the secret then, I guess?
No, I think he stumbled across the secret too.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
There's also tales of a hideously deformed heir who was locked away in the attic. My favorite, though, is that of an ancient family curse. Now, the 15th Earl once said of the curse, "If you could only guess the nature of the secret, you would go down on your knees and thank God that it was not yours."
Malanta, what the heck is it? This is serious.
I'm not completely sure what the curse was, but I do know that the family troubles go back to around 1537. That's when the widow of the 6th Lord of Glarms was accused of being a witch. She was then burned at the stake. From that day on, her ghost is reportedly seen every year on the anniversary of her death. It's seen on the roof of the clock tower. She appears with a red glow all around her as if, obviously, she's still got flames around her.
Toasty.
The castle itself has 90 rooms, and several of those rooms all have some type of dark story that's attached to it. That would explain why it's the most haunted castle.
I guess so.
King Malcolm II of Scotland was killed in one of those rooms. They had the floor reboarded because they could not get the blood stains out of it.
Oh, heck.
This was thought to be the inspiration for the death of King Duncan in Macbeth that we talked about a little bit earlier. But there's going to be a lot more spirits because the castle acquired a bunch of these new vengeful spirits during the year of the Inter-Clan Wars. This happened when the Ogilvy clan was allowed to hide from their enemies in the dungeon of the castle. They came to them and said, "Hey, we need a place to hide out. Can we hide in your castle?" And they were like, "Sure. We're going to put you in a dungeon. Just wait there." And they weren't really very hospitable hosts, though, because then they walled them up inside.
Stop it!
When the wall was torn down a century later, it said that the skeletons were all found in the positions that suggested that they had been gnawing at their own flesh.
Oh, Lord.
Scottish author.
That is not a good hostess.
No, it's not. It's not.
That is sick.
Well, and then I think the story goes, even though I didn't really cover much more on that, the story goes that there was like 3 or 4 different groups that were all battling each other at the time. Yeah. And even though they gave these people, the Ogilvies, a chance to go down there, they had actually worked something out in the castle with another clan. So it was like, okay, we'll allow them to come in here, but we're actually working for you. So when they come in, we'll just basically kill them.
It didn't seem like a good idea to invite anybody like that if they knew people were looking for them and wanting to fight them.
Well, I mean, I guess it's like Survivor, like the TV show Survivor, when you think somebody's in your alliance or whatever, and they're really not.
Oh, man, that is awful. Those poor people.
Scottish author Sir Walter Scott was the adventurous kind of guy, and he decided to spend the night here in 1793. It's safe to say that he regretted it. He said, "I must own that I heard door after door shut, After my conductor had retired, I began to consider myself as too far from the living and somewhat too near the dead. That's a very nice quote. So basically he said that he felt like he was closer to dead than being alive, but mm-hmm. all the things that he experienced in the house. In November of 1869, Miss Monroe was a guest of the new owners, Lord and Lady Strathmore. In the middle of the night, she was awoken by the feeling that someone was bending over her while she was asleep. Then she felt a beard brush across her face. Her lantern had gone out, so she yelled for her husband to get the matches. There was just a little bit of moonlight that was shining through the window, and just enough that she could see a figure walk into the dressing room. She scooted to the end of the bed. She felt around for the matches. She found them, struck one, and yelled to her husband that she had found the matches. He didn't need to look for it anymore. As she lit the lantern, she sees, much to her surprise, that her husband was still lying beside her in the bed.
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
He was out of it, but he kind of mumbled, "What are you bothering about?" At that time, she heard a scream from the child that was sleeping in that dressing room that she saw that figure going to.
Oh, that's scary.
So she runs into the room, and the child said that he had just seen a giant. They grabbed him, took him back to their room, and they tried to get him back to sleep. At that time, they heard a very loud crash, and they looked at the clock, and at about that time, the clock did a little ding, dong, dong, whatever.
They had a clock back in those days?
Yes, they had clocks in the 1800s, babe.
Oh.
And so the clock started chiming, you know, with the 4 a.m. Yeah. chime. Nothing else happened the rest of that night, though. The next morning, Mr. Monroe made his wife promise not to say anything about being scared or anything like that because this would have been an insult to their host.
Get over it.
But when they were sitting there at breakfast, it was right at the midway point. Another guest by the name of Fanny Trevanian came down and joined the group for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. She blabbed, didn't she?
She was all yawning and rubbing her eyes. And then she complained that she had a quite the disturbing night. She slept with a dog in her bed, little mm-hmm. dog. She said she usually slept with the lantern on, but somehow or another it went out during the night. The dog woke her up. He was howling, and she couldn't see anything because of the lantern being out, so she started looking for matches, and her husband heard a thunderous crash. The clock struck 4 a.m., and they were frightened and couldn't go back to sleep. Very similar to the story they had. They heard mm-hmm. the crash in the 4 a.m. With that, Mrs. Monroe started to tell her story.
Even though her husband said not to?
Yeah, well, somebody else had mentioned it first, so I guess she felt like, you know, what the hell?
Yeah.
Well, there were now three couples that were at that table that all heard the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
None of them had any explanation. So they all agreed that that night, they were going to keep an eye out for each other and that in their own respective rooms. That night, they're all in their rooms. Nothing was seen, but the loud crash was heard by each and every one of them, and they ran out into the hallway. As they stood there with their frightened faces, the clock struck four, just as it had the previous night.
Well, at least it's punctual.
So this is all kind of like fairly usual antics in the world of hauntings. But the story becomes more intriguing on the night of September 28th, 1936. Lord Halifax was staying at the Tully Allen Castle. Now, this is a really comfortable, more modern home with no hints of ghosts or anything mm-hmm. in it. On this particular night, Lord Halifax dreamt that he was back at Glarm's Castle, which had once been his late brother-in-law's home. What do they call someone who has died the late?
I don't know.
I got news for you. They're not only late, they're not coming.
No, not showing up at all.
Anyways, it was more of a nightmare than a dream that he had. He was being chased by a huge man with a long beard. In his dream, Lord Halifax knew that the man chasing him was dead. In the dream, Lord Halifax offered the man broken chains that the maid had found in a hollow space below the grate in his room. The ghost said, "You have lifted a great weight off of me. Those irons have been weighing me down since 1846.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, remember that.
Yeah.
Then Lord Halifax woke up. Now, the dream itself wasn't all that important at the moment. But on that exact same night, the daughter of Lord Castleton was staying at Glarm's. She was unaware of the ghost stories about the castle.
She didn't know anything about it.
During the night, she woke up with a feeling that someone was in her room. She sat up and she could see a man sitting in front of the fire. A huge man with a long, flowing beard. He turned, stared at her. She said that although his beard rose and fell as if he was breathing, the face was that of a dead man.
Yikes.
After a few seconds, he faded away and she went back to sleep. Very similar to his dream.
The dead
man, the beard, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably wondering, where are we heading with all this? Years later, Lord Halifax told Lady Strathmore about the incident. Of course, Lady Strathmore owned the castle at the time. But she was taken aback when he mentioned the year that the man said he had died, 1486. That was the year that the Earl Beardy, Glarm's most famous ghost, was murdered.
Oh.
So
that
date came to him in a dream. He tells her, and she's like, what a coincidence.
Oh, holy crap, yeah.
I guess now would be the perfect time to talk about Earl Beardy.
Was that really his name?
No.
Beardy?
No.
Oh.
There are several different versions of the story dating back to the 1400s. Earl Beardy has been identified with both Alexander Lyon, Earl II, Lord of Glarms, who died in 1453, and Alexander Lindsay, 4th Earl of Crawford, who died in 1453. Now, all of these stories involve Earl Beardy playing cards, but it was on the Sabbath, and that would have been a big no-no to play cards on the Sabbath, and his host refused to play with him. And in other stories say that servants asked him to stop, and he refused. Earl Beardy had been infuriated, and he claimed that he would play until doomsday. And then another version said that he said that he would play with the devil himself.
Dang. He must have been on a roll.
Lo and behold, a stranger appears at the castle and joins him in a game of cards. Beardy loses his soul to the stranger, who was the devil himself. And he was forced to play cards until doomsday. I don't really think that would be that major of a punishment out of everything that can be given.
Well, that's very true.
All right, so I mentioned that Glarms had its own monster. Well, not technically. I also mentioned the horrible secret that the family was keeping. And mentioned that it's possible that they had an heir to the family fortune that was kept in the attic. So remember all those things.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't tell you was that all three of those little tidbits of info are more than likely referring to the exact same thing.
Oh.
And I'll tell you how they're connected right after this break from our sponsor.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Thomas Lyon Bowles was an heir to one of Scotland's noble titles, but he was locked away in a secret chamber of the family castle. He was locked away and forgotten after being born seriously deformed.
Oh, man. Come on now.
He was cruelly known as the Monster of Glarms.
Aww.
He was born October 21st, 1821 at the castle. Now, the official record say that the baby died that day. His parents were Thomas Lord Glarms, son of the 11th Earl of Strathmore, and Charlotte Lyon Bowles. Rumors started to spread around the town that the baby had somehow survived the birth. This was likely from an account of a midwife who was basically spilling the secret. There was also no gravestone.
Poor baby.
Over time, the stories just kind of started to grow. One of the stories said that a workman ran into Thomas in a passage close to the chapel. Remember earlier that we talked about he was given money to relocate to Australia and keep the story hush-hush. So the man in the 20s that ran into him in the castle, he was the one that was given money to go away and move to Australia. Some stories tell of an estate manager who refused to step foot into the castle after learning about the purpose of the quote-unquote secret chamber. The story soon circulated all around Europe and even made it to North America. An article was written in the New York Times in 1864 about it. In 1908, a writer told the Oxford University Post that he knew the story for 60 years.
So why? I mean, after they found out about the baby, why didn't they do anything?
Who knows? I mean, these were the big people in the town. I mean, they were, you're talking kings, queens, lords, ladies. I mean, they don't get no bigger than that. In the article, it said that the story was that in the Castle of Glarms, the celebrated old castle, the Earl of Strathmore, is a secret chamber. In the chamber is a confined monster who is the rightful heir to the titleist property. But it's so unpresentable that it's necessary to keep him out of sight and out of possession. The secret was said to have been known to only three people: the Earl of Strathmore, the heir to the actual property, and the manager of the estate were the only three people who knew the secret that guy was being kept there.
And they all, and I mean, people probably would have loved him.
Probably. A group of guests allegedly went to search for Thomas. They started hanging towels up in each one of the rooms that they could actually walk into. And then they would go outside and look into the windows and see where the towels were.
Yeah.
And then they would find the window that didn't have a towel in it, and that would be where the secret passage is. They found one window that didn't have a towel. And, well, first of all, they had to have a lot of towels.
No shit, that's a lot of rooms.
But they found one that didn't have a towel. They came back inside, and they still couldn't locate the hidden chamber. Now, I will say that others say that the family secret was the Ogilvy clan that was walled up in the castle. So it could be either one of these could have been the family secret.
They're both horrific. It's terrible.
So that's the two guesses that people think are the basic family secret.
I just don't understand how people can live with themselves knowing that. I mean,
I guess at one certain point you're like, well, I mean, that was my ancestors. It wasn't me. So,
you know. Yeah, I know. It would still bother me, though.
Let's talk about a few other quick ghost stories here. So let's go back to Earl Beardy. He likes to show up in full suit of armor and bend over children's beds and scare the crap out of them.
No. So you mean like a tin? Like a
suit of armor.
Like a tin thing.
Yeah.
Oh. Ooh.
Probably not tin. That wouldn't
work. Well, not tin.
Probably wouldn't work very well.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Not aluminum foil either.
Huh?
Not aluminum foil either.
Ew.
That really wouldn't work.
That would hurt my teeth.
New suit of armor by Reynolds. He also liked to curse, slam doors, and rattle dice. He loved him some gambling.
He's a hoot.
Then there's a similar story to what we told you earlier about a girl with no tongue behind the bars. This one, though, says that there was a maid who stumbled upon Thomas. She threatened to tell, and the Earl said, you know what? I want her tongue cut out. After her tongue was cut out, she broke away from the guards, and she tried to escape from the grounds, but they caught up with her and killed her. They say that you could now see her ghost running and screaming silently with blood pouring out of her mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
And last but not least, the Grey Lady. She likes to walk through the chapel while you're praying and then just disappear into a wall. This is thought to be Lady Janet Douglas, who was the woman that we talked about earlier that was burned at the stake for being a witch.
Oh, man.
So what do you think about Glarms? We ready to travel over there?
Or? I just don't think I want to go now. Mainly just because I'm mad that they did that to that sweet baby and to that little girl. And
I don't know if it's ever been proved.
I would hope not.
About the little boy, the monster of Glarms. But I think most people feel like it's true because there's an actual birth date.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people who've mentioned it and talked about it. Now, how much of it? How long did he live? How long was he in there? Was he really, you know, he obviously was fed and stuff like that. He was just kept out of sight. So at least that's a good thing. It's not like he was, you know, I mean, back in the 1400s, 1500s, I mean, people definitely did things a different way if you were born deformed or if you had any other kind of illnesses or something.
But everybody's beautiful, though.
True, but they didn't see it back then. How many times have we talked about houses for the mentally ill back in the day where they didn't even put their names on tombstones? They just put numbers because they didn't want them associated with their family. Oh, it was an embarrassment. Or, I mean, heck, go back to the 20s and 30s, and if a girl was pregnant out of wedlock, I mean, they got sent away to homes and everything.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah. It's horrible. What do you think about the Klan being just basically bricked up and just
that is left crazy there to me. That is crazy. I mean, I wonder how long they... I guess they must have started bricking them up right away.
Yeah, I don't know how they didn't know. My first thing was, how did they not know that they were being bricked up in there?
Yeah, because if they had known, I mean, they should have been doing everything that they could to get out of there. And it seems like, you know, there were so many of them that they would have came up with something.
I'm sure if you went back and looked at it, I'm sure that they were in a dungeon and it was probably maybe two or three rooms over where they started bricking it up. So it wouldn't like right outside their door.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're in there trying to stay away from, hide out from people. So they're probably not going to be poking their heads out. So my guess is they were probably, you know.
It worked.
Yeah. Because, heck, you only got to brick up a doorway. When you think about it.
I mean, yeah, but somehow, I mean, that sounds so stupid to say. Just, you know, just to do that. Brick up a doorway. How stupid is that? But they can't get out. And I mean, oh my gosh. I just can't imagine what these poor souls have gone through in years, you know. I don't know. It's just awful.
All right, Tracy, let's take a really quick break from our sponsor, and then we're going to come back and tell you all kinds of new stuff. We've got some information on the cruise, some new shows lined up, and we'll just breeze through those. And then we're going to play Anthony's story, which you're definitely going to want to hear. This is kind of spooky.
All right.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, Tracy, so real quick, all the shows are available. I'm not going to go through each one of them. Just go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com, go to live events. We've got St. Augustine, Memphis, Galveston, Bobby Mackey's, and Dallas area. So we got five shows available, and trust me, I think every one of these are going to sell out. The St. Augustine show, there are 60 tickets available. 20 tickets have already sold.
Oh, that's amazing. Yahoo, guys.
And that's, you know, 8 months away. Same way with the other shows. All the other shows have sold 15, 20 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So I would advise if you're going to plan on going, you might want to snag your tickets. Now, we had a chance to do something extremely that we were honored to do, and it was fun this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua Adia is doing a documentary. It's called From Hell and Back. And it's basically just people who have had major struggles and came out on the positive end.
Mm-hmm.
It's inspiring. It's going to be a 4-part documentary. It will be out later this year. Probably the first episode, he said, around July or August. And he wanted us to come talk about my personal story, which we talked about in the book, and Tracy and I, as far as what we try to do on the podcast to bring people up and to give them an outlet if they're struggling. And it was a very cool experience for us, and we appreciate him asking us to do that. And he's also going to be at the St. Augustine show.
Yeah,
so everybody will get a chance to meet
him. It was really exciting. Joshua is really a good guy, and I mean, like Jerry said, we were very honored that he wanted to include us in that, and we wish him nothing but the best of luck with everything he's doing, and it's going to turn out pretty great, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'll post some, he's got some trailers already out from, you know, the earlier episode that'll be out, the first episode, and I'll post that in the group so you can go in there and see it, and I'll probably post it on the fan page too, because not everybody's part of the group.
Okay.
The next big news, obviously, is we are going to be doing a cruise. Now, if you're in the group, you had a chance to be able to see when I posted and said, hey, what do you think? Is this something you'd be interested in? And a lot of people showed interest. The cruise will be a 4-day cruise to the Caribbean. We don't have all the details worked out yet. I'll know more next week, and I'll know even more by the end of the month when we start finalizing things. But what this is going to be, it's 4 days to the Caribbean. Could be the Bahamas, could be Mexico, could be Virgin Islands. I don't know yet. We're working on details on that. It's going to be affordable. It's going to be something that you could probably put a small deposit down, like 50 bucks to 100 bucks, and be able to make payments all the way up to July on. And my guess is for two people, for a couple, this is probably going to be under $800. Yeah. May even be way under that.
And maybe, it's next year.
Yeah, next year, not this year.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get the price down where it's closer to like $600 or $700. We'll find out. Like I said, that's one of the details we don't have worked out yet. But if you think about that, that could be like 50 bucks a month payment.
Yeah. You've got plenty of time to do it.
You have plenty of time.
And if you don't have your passports, whatever, you have plenty of time to get those.
Or you can use a birth certificate, we're told, but it's better to have...
Yeah, your passport.
Yeah, it'd be better to have a passport. But what is this going to be? Okay, well, first of all, it's probably going to leave out of Miami. That's the plan. It'll be late September, so we'll get away from the holidays and beginning of the month, Labor Day. Here's the fun part. We are going to have, I know the guys from Brohio say they're coming. Justin Rimmel from Serious Circumstances are coming. Shane Waters from Foul Play is coming. And I can't tell you how many people even more. So that this place is going to be packed with paranormal investigators, paranormal authors, and paranormal and true crime podcasters. And we're all fun. Yeah, we're going to try to pack the place. We're going to have our own section to be able to eat together for dinners. We're going to have a free cocktail party for all of us that's part of our cruise part. And we'll have like meeting rooms set up to where we'll do some live events. Probably going to be Shane Waters, Justin Rimmel, and Tracy and I will do a live event like you would normally go to. And we're also going to have like a giant meet and greet where anybody who is a paranormal podcaster or a true crime podcaster, if they want to be a part of this, we'll be able to have one day where we'll have a couple of hours where we can set up a tables in a huge room, and we'll just let everybody come through and meet everybody. Mm-hmm. Take pictures. If you want to sell merch, you can do that. But it's going to be fun. So it's going to be just filled with paranormal people, and you're going to be able to just meet and greet with everybody for the whole trip. How cool is that?
I'm so excited. Man, I'm going to have to start working on my bod. Shoot.
So anyways, we'll know more. I don't have a whole lot more information than that. I just know it's going to be 4 days, be the Caribbean. It's going to be fun. And there'll be more paranormal people than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah. I hope you guys, you know, want to go and do this with us, because we're going to be so excited to do it. And, you know, like I said, we've got a whole year or more, a year and a half to plan for that. So we got a lot of time, and it's like we got a lot of time, but then we wanted to hurry up and get here. So,
right.
Yeah. But it's going to be a blast, guys. And I hope as many of y'all that want to come does do that. And get our cruise on.
Yeah, the cruise companies are going to bend over backwards to make this special for our group.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, Tracy, what do you got for us over there?
All right. iTunes, we have, this is what it was titled, I Don't Care About Your Reviews.
That's the name, yeah.
Yeah, that's the name. She gave, whoever, he or she gave us a wonderful review. Thank you so much for that. Mojo Lobster, Never Lets Us Down. Go Jimmer. And I said this name last week, but I said it wrong. I don't know why. I said Billy Barton. Isn't that an actor?
Yeah, Billy Barton was the little, the small guy.
I don't even know why I said that, but anyway,
he was the very short, like 4 foot tall.
Yeah,
some people would call
midget, like me.
Little people, not midget. That's a bad word, Tracy. We're not supposed to say midget.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was referring to myself.
I tried 20 different times to say something different. You said it.
Well, I don't mean nothing by
little
that.
People.
Little people.
Yeah, Billy Barton was like one of the most famous. He was in tons of movies.
Oh yeah, he's good too.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's B.W. Barton. So I just wanted to make sure I changed that. Thank you guys. Your reviews were amazing, and we appreciate y'all so much. And our Patreon is Deb Dill, Cindy Newhouse, and Louisa Perillo. Thank you guys for your support. It means the world to us. And man, I just feel happy inside. I just feel so happy. Good. Spring is coming. It's been a beautiful 4 days here, at least. The sun's been shining and our little flowers are starting to come up. So we're getting excited about what's to come this year. And, you know, thank you guys for hanging with us and being a part of that with us.
Absolutely. And if you want to become a Patreon member, just go to patreon.com, look up Hillbilly Horror Stories, or go to our main page on the website, hillbillyhorrorstories.com. You can find tickets to the shows. You can click and support the show. We had somebody ask again the other day, and it's up on the website. If you don't want to become a Patreon supporter, but you do want to make like a one-time donation, there's a spot on there to do that. So
cool,
it's pretty easy to find. But do that. And there's also the link to Paranormal Kicks Cancer, which is the a charity that we've chose to team up with. You can click on that, learn all about the charity, and if you choose to donate, that's the place to do it. Now let's listen to Anthony. Hey guys, I have I don't even know how to even start with this one. This is a fantastic guest we got on, Anthony Kegler from South Carolina. Anthony, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I want to start off before we start talking about your stories on something very weird that happened involving how we got connected. So apparently this was a couple of nights ago. I was sitting at home with Tracy. We were watching a Crystal Rogers documentary on Netflix, or it wasn't Netflix, it was one of the other ones, Peacock. And as we're sitting there watching this, then we literally sat there from like 6:30 till midnight. And right around midnight, we went to bed. And the next day, I think it was probably 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, my phone rings. I see it's from South Carolina. I had just gotten a call earlier today from with some of the resorts out there at Hilton Head and Myrtle Beach. And when I saw it was South Carolina, I assumed it was probably one of those places again. And when I pick up the phone, it's Anthony. And when he answered the phone, I'm like, hello. And he says, hello. And it didn't sound like a business. So I was like, well, maybe this isn't one of the resorts out there. And Anthony says, I was calling because I missed your call last night, so I'm just returning your phone call. Well, obviously I didn't remember calling anybody. And he tells me that the time was like really close to midnight, which is about the time we were going to bed. So I look at my phone while we're still talking to each other. I look at my phone and I see that I don't have any outgoing calls or missed calls. The last call I'd had was from like 4:30 in the afternoon. And that was when I called my daughter. So that was very odd. On top of that, I hadn't talked to Anthony before that. And then I had no way of having his number to be able to call him. So as we start getting into this and it starts unraveling, Anthony tells me that he had was trying to send a message to us about some stories that he had. And this was through Messenger, though, so it wasn't through text or anything like that. And he's trying to send this message, and as he gets it all typed out and gets ready to send it, his screen glitches. It goes black, so it never sent. Plus, I didn't have any message from him, but somehow, some way, there was a missed call from my phone number to his number that I didn't have, and that's what encouraged Anthony to call me back. And then we talked a little bit about some of the stories, and I thought, you know, we got to hurry up and get you on, but I also want to be able to tell how cool this experience this was. And so it kind of, it's just kind of one of those unique coincidences, I guess we'll say. But Anthony, thanks again for coming on. After we got off the phone the other day, and you thought about that, about after everything I told you, what were your thoughts on it?
Really, I thought about it for a while, and it's just one of those things that I guess was meant to happen. You know, throughout my life, I've had things happen in mysterious ways, and I guess that's just another one of them.
So let's go back to 1983. You had a horrible experience that began with a premonition. So tell me a little bit about what happened in 1983.
Well, me and my brother, he was 10 at the time, I was 8. We had went over to one of his friends to spend a few nights over there, and we were riding our bikes and jumping ramps and stuff. And this was in 83, and in 82, for Christmas, we had got brand new bicycles, and it was the first year they had the handbrakes on the bicycles. And but we were over at a friend's house and riding our bikes and jumping ramps and everything. And we had the ramp set up in the driveway. And there was a trail that went from our friend's grandmother's house to their house and around to the driveway. Well, my brother got on his bike and he picked up pretty good speed, and he was going to jump the ramp, but then he decided he was going too fast. So he kind of, he went to mash his brakes, and they didn't stop him. And a lady had come around a corner, and it just so happened she had her 2-year-old granddaughter in the car, and she dropped her cup, and as most people do, reached down, pick it up, and whenever she looked back in the road, my brother was in the middle of the road. And she ended up hitting him, and that broke his left leg, and he went over to handlebars and hit a oak tree, good size oak tree, head on, and bounced off of it and hit another tree and then fell to the ground. The night before all this happened, I dreamed everything that I watched that day, and I woke up crying, and my friend's mother, you know, consoled me and went, "Oh, that's just a dream." Well, a few hours later, I watched my dream happen in front of my eyes. And when I say it was like in the movies where everything just stops and it's very slow, and I mean, it was just like a minute to, or a few seconds to hours, you know, and whenever it was over with, I ran across the road and looked down at my brother, and first thing that popped in my head is, "Are you okay?" And he was laying there, purple, a big knot on his head. And he looked up at me and he said, "I need help." And, you know, I jumped up and ran to, you know, our friend's house and told his mom to call, you know, an ambulance, because my brother had been hit by a car. And then I ran back out there and I went over to him. And I kneeled down beside him and kind of started rubbing his head. I said, "You're going to be okay. Help's on the way." And he looked up at me and said, "I love you." And that's the last thing interaction I had with my brother. But the thing is in the shape that my brother was in and the injuries that he had, the doctors and everyone said there's no way that he could have spoke anything. I mean, it broke his first and second vertebrae, going to his head. And he couldn't breathe. They had to intubate him. And for a long time, my parents thought I was lying about it. And, I don't know if it was his spirit letting me know or what it was, but I was told in his condition he would not have spoken a word. But I continue to have that dream a lot. It's something that's always going to be stuck in my head.
Did your parents believe you that you had the dream the night before?
My mom did, because she had a similar dream, but it didn't involve my brother. It involved both me and my brother, not of him getting killed or either one of us getting hurt, but it was kind of like a memory dream to where we were smaller and, waving at her like goodbye, like she was riding off in a car. But she believed that I dreamed it the night before it happened.
Obviously, that was a horrible thing to witness. And then not only do you witness something horrible, but you lose a brother as well. I can assume you guys were probably close, judging by the closeness in age and being that young, you were probably inseparable.
Yeah, everywhere he went, I went. We played baseball. Where we lived in a mobile home park, and in the mobile home park, there was a lake called Silver Lake, and it was basically like a beach. It had a high dive, low dive, middle pier and everything. It's where everybody went to swim and all, and we hung out there during the summer times. I mean, everywhere he went, I went.
Well, I'd like to be able to say that, that would be a one-time experience to witness something so horrible in your life to a close family member, but that wasn't the case, was it?
Not at all.
Tell me a little bit about your father.
After, my brother died, he was the firstborn, and usually the firstborn take to the father and the father takes them. And he was more or less my father's favorite, the way I saw it. But my father, he kind of sunk into alcohol pretty good, and we didn't have much of a relationship. Most of my life, he told me, when I was younger, when he was drunk and all that, it should have been me. It shouldn't have been him. And that stuck with me. And it gave me grudge against my dad. But, later in life, when I got with the woman I'm with now, she kind of helped us build our relationship back, we were beginning to become good friends. And it was, I think, 2016, I was bringing him home from a eye doctor's appointment, and he had a massive heart attack and basically died in my front seat.
Not to sound like a psychologist or anything, but how did that make you feel? Obviously, you've got the normal feelings of, oh my God, I've lost my father, and this happened right here. But did you feel like at any point in time that your relationship didn't give you the full amount of remorse from some of the things because of some of the things that he said when you were little? Or did you feel like that kind of went away as soon as he passed away and you were free of that and felt complete remorse over his passing?
Well, a couple of years before he passed away, we had a long talk. He asked me, you know, why do you dislike me so much? Why can't we get along? And, you know, I told him, you know, if you hadn't told me that you wish it had been me. And when I told him that, he got a look on his face like, I don't even remember saying that, you know. And he said, son, back then I was drinking so much, I really don't remember saying that. But if I ever said that to you, and he started tearing up. My dad, he's not the type of person that would tear up. I mean, it took a lot to get him to show any emotion as far as, you know, compassion or anything like that. But when he started to tear up, I kind of felt then that he really didn't know what he had said. And that kind of helped me out. And we started getting closer. And whenever he had his heart attack, it was kind of harder on me in the respect that we were just beginning to become friends and talk. And, you know, he had got to where he'd call me just about every day. But that part of it was really hard.
How old was your father when he passed away?
He was 70. He died actually a week before his 71st birthday.
Man, it's tough when you're reuniting and everything seems to be going the right path and then something like that happens. So I definitely feel where you're coming from. Now, you've had some other situations. Unfortunately, that's not really the last of it. Tell me a little bit about your mother.
My mom, I think it was 2019. Yeah, 2019. In April, she had slipped and fell and broke her hip. And took her to the hospital, and they called us from the hospital, and we went up there and all, and they told her that she had broke her hip and she was going to have surgery the next morning. And my mom broke down and started crying and said, that's it, I'm going to die. And I said, Mom, you know, you've been through a lot more than this, you know, because she had recently had a stroke a couple years before. And she rehabbed herself and everything and got better. I said, this is nothing, you know. But whenever she went in for a surgery, they put her under anesthesia, and she never come out. And we waited, I think, 3 days, 2 or 3 days. And the doctor said that, you know, she wasn't showing any improvement. Actually, she was getting worse. So then I had to make the decision to for them to stop the machines and at 8 o'clock in the morning, the next morning she passed away. And the funny thing about it is that she had a pacemaker, and for probably 5 to 10 minutes after she actually passed away, her heart continued to beat because of the pacemaker, and they had to put a magnet on her chest to stop it. And then, you know, she flatlined and all, of course, but that was pretty mind boggling to me.
That would be tough to deal with. You know, I went through similar with my mother. Went in for something that should have been, you know, routine, and she didn't make it out of the hospital. She was 54. And, you know, that's something that haunts me to this day. And that was, you know, 15 years ago, roughly. So, I mean, I know what you know, how that feels to have somebody go through something. And you were talking about your mother, how she was had this just thoughts that she wasn't going to make it out. And my father had a heart procedure done last year, and he had the same kind of thoughts. Of course, he did, you know, come through it with no issues, but he was dead set that he just was not going to make it out of that hospital. And to the point where he was, you know, petrified. And that's not my dad. He's not somebody who's readily scared, but he was petrified that he was not making it out of this hospital. So yeah, it's really tough, man. You've been through a lot. You've been through a lot, my man. And I'm sorry you had to go through all that and see all that so up close.
Yeah, but as they say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I just think that especially with what happened to my brother at an early age, it opened my eyes that nobody knows when their time is going to come. I've always believed that from the day you're born, you start to die, you're on the timeline, and whenever that final second ticks, that's it. That's just the way I feel about it.
So besides the premonition of seeing your brother, have you had any other dreams that have come true over the years, or had any other kind of paranormal experiences that maybe you felt was, you know, maybe your brother trying to make contact with you, or even recently with your parents?
Well, with my brother, I've always felt that he's been with everywhere I went. From the time he died, I've always had a sense of loneliness. It doesn't matter if I'm in a crowd of 1,000 people. There's just something in my body that makes me feel alone. And I kind of feel like that's him. That's his feeling, because he can't really touch us, or we can't touch him or see him or be with him. And I think that's the feeling of, you know, how he feels. That's just, the way I feel about it. But I think, you know, to me, my brother was larger than life. He could beat me up, but he wouldn't put nobody else. You know, one day we played baseball together and all. I mean, we were pretty tight-knit. And whenever he passed away, after that, you know, I would dream every single night what happened every night, and to where I just got used to it. But yeah, there would be times where, because we shared the same room, there would be times where it'd get really cold in my room during the summertime, you know, to where you could almost see your breath. It would get, you know, very cold. And if I were going to do something that maybe I shouldn't do, I always felt like something was pushing me back, you know, to where I could physically feel like hands, like, no, you don't need to do this. And my brother used to do that all the time. He was kind of like my overseer, for lack of a better term.
Well, Anthony, I appreciate you coming on, buddy. I know it's tough reliving some of these moments. And you know, like you said, you have the dream still to this day. And so you're constantly reliving it. And it takes a lot to be able to step up and say, hey, I'm going to share these stories with other people. But as I've said in the past with difficult stories, I think there'll be a lot of people that will get a benefit from this because I think that'll make them feel better about their situations that maybe they're experiencing.
I hope so. Anytime that anybody's had a question or anything pertaining to my brother, you know, when I tell them the story or what have you, I don't mind, you know, answering questions or anything. It's been almost 40 years, so, you know, I've learned to deal with it pretty good. And, you know, talking, I feel, helps. If you keep everything bottled up inside, it's just a ticking time bomb waiting to explode. But the more you talk about it and get it out, the better you feel about it.
Well, I can't think of a better way to end the interview than that, because no truer words have ever been spoken. So bless you, brother, and thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Love the show. Love the show.
We appreciate it. So how about that for a touching story?
Ooh, that gave me chills. Wow.
I mean, the part where he's, you know, his brother is talking to him.
Yes.
And then they tell him that there's no way that his brother could have said anything. You know, that's amazing.
Wow. I can't even imagine that.
So.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Anthony. That story, it was really something.
Yeah. All right, guys. We will see you next week.
We hope you all have a blessed week, and we'll see you next week.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. 5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. 5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.